Blazers coach Chauncey Billups elected to the Hall of Fame. Blazers snap a 10-game losing streak, which is both good and maybe bad. We'll talk about all that and more on the Blazer Focus Podcast. I am Aaron Fetches of The Oregonian and OregonLive.com, along with Craig Bernbeck. Craig, what you think of my t-shirt? It's my Darth Vader t-shirt.
I liked it. I mean, I think it says it's Darth Vader, tall, dark, and evil. And I would say that you are one of three.
Wait.
I mean, really? What? Are you tall?
6'2"? I'm taller than you.
I mean, in my world, that's huge. Yeah, well,
what's the average? What's the average? Average man's 5'9", right?
Well, in America, it's about a little over 5'9". In the world, which is the one I like to keep track
it's
of,
like 5'7"?
It's closer to 5'8".
5'8", see? So I'm tall. I'm not I'm not overly dark, but I'm darker
but you're not
than
evil.
You. Oh, I can be. I That's can true. Be. No, I'm a sweetheart. The people deserve it. Anyway, all right. That sounded kind of evil.
The four people in his family that deserve it.
I'm Dr. Evil. All right, man. It's been a minute. Last time we talked, was it right before they went on this trip or had they already started it? Do you remember?
I don't know. You said you had to go away for a few days. I thought,
I went up to see my son.
I was worried, like, rehab? Like, what does that mean? I got to go away. Anger management? Like, what was that?
No.
I don't want to start any rumors.
Dude, I'm a grandfather.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
My son Isaiah had a baby girl, actually in February. And I went up the day after she was born. But she was early. Chloe Nicole Fentress. She was early, so she was in the hospital. I saw her there, and then she came home a week later, and then we were able to go up during spring break, me and my wife and two kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we stayed with them for a few days. That's why I had that short little window, but you couldn't do it on Tuesday. And then I watched and covered the Atlanta game from up there. But yeah, that's why I was gone for a few days.
I didn't want to ask because you just said I got to be away for a few days. I'm like, all right, man. I don't want to. None of my business.
I don't want to fish in here for a minute. The journalist in you was like, wait, what?
Right, exactly. I was like, no. Personal life, but that's an awesome reason to be away. That's great. Congratulations.
So now all these trolls on Twitter used to call me Gramps because of my takes. And I would like recoil They're against right. it. Now I'd be like, well, I mean, yeah, I'm still right. But yeah, I'm a Gramps. Anyway, so I think we talked the previous week. So I think we talked right before the trip. The trip hasn't gone that well, although that's pretty much what we expected. They had this 60-point blowout, which I'm coming back to that in a minute with some stats that maybe fans don't know about. But then, you know, like we said the other night, last night, they pulled off the win at Charlotte. And first,
terrible win.
They snapped a 10-game losing streak, which was their longest losing streak of the season. They snapped it, and they were very excited. Good for them. Young kids out there.
Yes.
It's not these kids' fault that they're thrown into this, that they're starting five rookies some nights, or four rookies, or three rookies, and they got this. You know, it's not their fault. Those kids want to go out there and win, so good for them for pulling off that win. Yeah. But the biggest news of the day was that Shams broke the news that Chauncey Billups and Vince Carter and others were elected into the Hall of Fame. Now, funny thing is that this was supposed to be kept secret until Saturday, which
Didn't
I told
work.
An NBA source when I got one to confirm it for me for a post. I said, wait a minute. They thought this was going to be secret for like 6 days? What world are these people living in? There's no way that was going to be secret for that long. So it came out. Chauncey, of course, then had to talk about it during the pregame show. I actually talked to Chauncey this morning, but that's all embargoed until Saturday. So I can write something. I can't post it until Saturday, until the official announcement, which is going to go down during the Final Four. So anyway, it's hilarious. But great for Chauncey. And it comes, you know, it's sort of a bright spot in an otherwise cloudy season.
Man. Right? He needed it. I mean, I almost like, you know, I'm not big on Twitter, but like every once in a while, if something comes across, but I don't want to be too negative. I couldn't figure out a way to tweet this as a pod, like he deserved this without like piling on the Blazer season, right?
Right.
I wanted to try to express like how much Chauncey Billups deserved to have some good news during the season that he's gone through. But I wanted it to be like lean on the positive. And I felt everything I started typing, I'm like, oh, now that's going to look like I'm bashing. You know, I'm not trying to bash. I'm just trying to say, like, this guy deserved to remember this year in a positive way somehow. And making the Hall of Fame is pretty darn positive. You know, yep. Like that he will now – that overcomes and overrides all these losses because he's in the Hall of Fame and he found out this year. So forever, this will be a very special year for him and his family. And, you know, I think it's great. You know, he was a NBA Finals MVP. Only Cedric Maxwell, I think, is the only one who's not in the Hall of Fame. So that's nice to get there. I don't think anyone will get in the Hall of Fame. Well, not anyone. It's going to be in the future. Those numbers that he has will not get you in the Hall of Fame just because the game has changed unless it reverts back. You know what I mean? Like just the way he was. But a winner who played both sides, you know, two-way player, won a championship, was a big shot guy, well-deserved. And I really think it's awesome that he was able to celebrate that. Well, technically not till Saturday, but I'm sure he's celebrating it. Gives him more time to celebrate a wonderful honor.
Right. It's interesting you bring up the stat thing. I've always found the NBA Hall of Fame interesting because the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is 100% stat driven, right? It's like it's a numbers game, and you reach certain milestones, you're automatically in, right?
Unless you got caught cheating,
right? Exactly. Basketball's really bizarre. Basketball's really bizarre because it's more than just what you did in the NBA. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame, right? It's the basketball.
Right. It's the basketball Hall of Fame. So which makes it weird,
right? So his Colorado stuff counts, you know, and then of course his NBA stuff carries it. But like someone like Tony Kukoc,
international counts,
right? Like Tony Kukoc is in not for NBA at all. Even though he won three championships with the Bulls, he's in for his international stuff, which even I'm not even sure he did that much internationally to warrant being in. But, you know, then NBA-wise, someone like Maurice Cheeks, who was a role-playing guard on a championship team in Philadelphia, he's in. So when you look at Chauncey, to me, though, five All-Stars, three All-NBA, two All-Defensive, you know, Finals MVP, like you said. That to me, I mean, to me, if you get five All-Star games in, I think you're definitely on the cusp. And then you throw in that Finals MVP, I think that puts him over the top. But statistically, what's fascinating about him to me, he's averaged 15 points, 5 assists, right? Clearly not overly impressive.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, there's
like you said.
You're not getting in the Hall of Fame with that playing in 2024.
Right. But
You're not even starting. You can't start. You can't. I mean, there's no starting guards that are doing that.
Right, but here's the thing, though, because points usually comes down to shooting percentages and shots. So he shot 38.7%. on threes for his career. And he had seven seasons where he shot 40% or better, which obviously is impressive, but he only shot 4.5 per game. In today's game, world, he's shooting 9 or 10. If you're shooting 40%, you're shooting 9 or 10 of those bad boys a game, right? So right there alone, you're going to get five or six more shots, and all of a sudden that 15 becomes 23 or 24 in a hurry in today's game. So I think that, you know, like you just said, moving forward, it ain't going to cut it, but I think people can look back and know it was a different time. And I kind of I joked with them today when I said, you guys played football like the 85 Bears. Like, you were trying to money it up, grind it up. Yep. And so 90 points would win, right? Because the Bears are trying to win on one Walter Payton touchdown, right? One McMahon touchdown and defensive touchdown. And that's how the Pistons were. They were trying to win 90 to 85. That's how they play. So no one's going to score 30 when you only score 90, right? But today, everyone's averaging 115. So, yeah, you got room for people to score 30. But I think performance-wise, regardless of raw numbers, he definitely was a Hall of Fame caliber player, and he proved that in the biggest stage of all, and he beat Shaq and Kobe. Like, they didn't just beat some scrubs who accidentally got into the finals. He beat Shaq and Kobe. So, to me, that obviously makes him worthy.
Look, the basketball, as you said, it's just funky, right? Because you got Harlem Globetrotters in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Like, and you got Christian Laettner in the Hall of Fame because he was one of the great college players. Right, so, it's hard to figure it out.
They need to separate. They need to create an NBA wing and make it
sure.
To me,
look, all the Hall of Fame stink now. Baseball used to be the good one, and now they've blown it. Because they don't let guys in because of they think they were on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
And then they let others that are in because, you know, they think they weren't on steroids or on performance enhancing drugs. And they think they know.
Right.
They think they know. Because they're like, oh, I'm a 65-year-old dude that's, you know, once played very competitive Little League. And I could tell that that guy was on steroids and that guy wasn't. And, oh, yeah, D. Gordon weighed 142 pounds and got suspended for doing performance-enhancing drugs. I knew that one, right? So that means I could guess all the others. Like, it's ridiculous. And it just infuriates me. Like, of course Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Of course he does.
He was a Hall of Famer before he started allegedly using. He definitely used, but he was Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer just in Pittsburgh, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not going to name the guys that are in that I'm pretty sure did it.
Oh, yeah.
But here's why. Because I was around that stuff enough. I grew up in the 90s, the late 80s and 90s in New Jersey. Trust me. I saw a lot of that. My people are known for what do you bench? You know what I mean? Like, so.
Hey, what's up, man? What do you bench?
I did a lot of working out, but believe it or not, myself. And I worried about what I benched. I know I don't know. And that's what you don't know. So anyway, they ruined that. But the Basketball Hall of Fame has always been just so bizarre because Sabonis, of course, is in the Hall of Fame. We didn't even get to see most of his greatness because it was behind an iron curtain.
Right.
But Chauncey Billups belongs in the Hall of Fame the way the Hall of Fame is designed. He was one of the best players at the era. He led his team to a championship, and he did it in a time when they won 88-86, and it wasn't an embarrassment. It was the way the game was supposed to be. And averaging 25 was amazing. And averaging 15 at a point guard position was really, really good. And he played defense. So he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but you just can't look at numbers because, like I said, like C.J. McCollum's not a Hall of Famer. His numbers are like 10 times better than that. But, you know, C.J. McCollum's not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Damian Lillard is. C.J. McCollum isn't, right? So,
right.
I mean, technically, like, Scoot's averaging Chauncey Billups' numbers almost right now. And it's a disappointing season. But and he goes in with Vince Carter, who was obviously a no-brainer and an amazing – at multiple levels.
Yeah.
International, NBA, and college. Like, he checks all the boxes. And – he didn't, you know, win. He wasn't a clutch. He wasn't an NBA Finals MVP, right? But he was a generational talent. And then he played for two more generations after that, and wasn't an embarrassment. Like, to me, Vince Carter will always be an amazing thing because so few players have been able to go from, you know, being the man and being super athletic and being, an all NBA player to figuring out how to be a role player. Like, it just doesn't happen very often for obvious reasons. And he did that. So it's a good class. It's a good guy to go in there with too.
And, you know, Chauncey's a guy who came in as a third pick. So obviously a lot was expected, but he struggled for the first 4 or 5 years of his career and had to grind his way into becoming an all-star caliber player. And he and I talked about that a little bit today. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, Scoot's kind of, you know, out the gate. Scoot was a third pick. A lot was expected. And he's, you know, he struggled his rookie season. And he's talked during the season about having someone like Chauncey to sort of talk about that with. And Chauncey's talked about, you know, counseling him on that stuff that, you know, you just got to go through whatever you got to go through to get where you want to go. So Chauncey is someone, to me, that, you know, his career path provides extra hope that this is just, you know, a bad rookie season. I'm going to call it what it is. It's not a good rookie season for Scoot Henderson, especially compared to the expectations. But, you know, maybe Scoot is going to grind his way into a stellar career just like Chauncey did.
Problem is there aren't a lot of Chauncey examples. You know, like Chauncey's a rarity that when you know, to struggle in a few years, have a team give up on you. You know what I mean? Like, and then still make it. It doesn't mean now. Also, Chauncey had played college basketball, right? He was not 19 and he wasn't much older. But yeah, I mean, that's the hope. And you have the guidance of a guy that can say, hey, I know what you're feeling tonight. And it can get better. The problem is the modern NBA doesn't allow, in my opinion, guards to not be able to shoot. And that's where Scoot's really struggling, which, you know, you predicted it. You had said that he's not going to just switch it on and, like, so can he be Ja Morant, right? Can he do this? And it doesn't mean he can't. I mean, he doesn't have to be 42%. He just can't be 27.
Right.
You know what I mean? He could be just get over 33. Because you talked about Chauncey shooting 38% and shooting 4.5. Back in that era, the math was simple. People were like, as long as you shoot better than 33% from three, you're not hurting your team by shooting threes. Like, that's what the math said. Like, so guys shooting 38% was really good. But now, I mean, you know, the best shooters shoot over 40 from three, and they shoot 10 a game. Right. So it's just a different world. And the way the NBA works now, they don't guard you. You know, if you can't shoot 35%, they're like, go ahead. You know, like, we'll beat you on the other end because we'll shoot 38 to 39 and get some dunks here. And we'll just sag off. And now you won't even shoot, you know, you'll shoot 45% from two and we're going to win. And you're not going to be an effective offensive player. And that's what's going on right now with Scoot, is they're just saying, go ahead, shoot. And what Scoot can do well is get to the hoop and finish, but not against three guys. You know, there's nobody that can do that. He's going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, it's bad across the board shooting wise. 38% total, 31% from three, which actually it's gone up. It's gone up. It's gone up. His 2-point percentage is 42.
Yeah, it's just not good.
That's and the effective is 43. But again, it's his rookie year. Like, I'm never going to call a rookie, you know, a bust or that he's done. I mean, guys improve.
And he's playing with four other rookies, right? Like, lately, at times, yeah. Like, that he's That's supposed tough. To be a he. What are you gonna do? Like, they don't know what they're doing. Who are you passing to? I mean, they won a game last night where they scored 89 points and he shot really well and he had 20. Like, Ran Rupar played 35 minutes. What was he, 1-for-5?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are you going to do? Like, that guy doesn't exist. Like, they're like, go ahead. You know, go ahead. So now you're playing 4-on-5. You know what I mean? Like, and then you're – great game from your power forward who had 22 rebounds, but Walker shot 4-for-17. Like, they're like, go ahead. You know, like, so how do you judge this? It's not been good because we have eyes. That's the thing. The stats mean nothing, in my opinion, you know, especially now. But we have eyes, and we have seen a guy not to be overwhelmed at times, to not show the athleticism we expected to see on a night-to-night basis, right? So, and not see not enough moments of like, oh, crap, like, there we go. And that's the difference between seeing Brandon Miller, who struggled last night, because there's been those moments we've seen. We all have social media. We see, like, oh, he just dunked on three people. Oh, he just blocked a shot, like from nowhere. Like, oh, okay. Like, and then the guy who's picked first, people are arguing whether are debating already if he could be the greatest player of all time. And you can't say no, right? You can't be like, that's ridiculous. You cannot, because the guy's had a 40-20 and he's 7'9" inches tall and killing it. So, like, that's a tough place to be if you're Scoot. So, but of course, yeah, we're not dismissing it, but it's not a home run right now. And the whole year has been, you know, it hadn't even been a sacrifice bunt.
Right. So let's do this. Let's come back to the snapping the losing streaks. I know you want to talk about how bad that was. And let's stick with this theme here because the entire roster, like, one of the reasons why when I watch these games, I'm just like, I don't care is because
you want it to be over.
Well, not just that, but I don't feel like I'm watching hardly anything that's going to be around in a couple years.
That's what I mean.
And you just mentioned Brandon Miller has flashed that he could be a star. Like, you see it. You see that ability. There's not one person on the Blazers this season that, I mean, Sharp for like a couple weeks when he had that really hot run and then he fell off. You know, Ant early on when he came back, you know, Ayton that last few weeks has been pretty good. but no one has really established themselves on this roster at all as a 1A, a future 1A. I don't even know if there's a future 1B yet. And so to me, all the second round picks and the young forwards and, oh, this guy had a great night that night and that guy, this guy made some threes. Oh my God, he made some threes. He's an NBA player. Wow. No one has established themselves at all as anyone that I believe is going to be a catalyst for getting this team back to the playoffs. Like, no one. Role players, nope. Yeah. But no one where you're going to go, that's the number one guy, they're riding him like they did with Dame, like they did with Roy, like they did with even Zach Randolph.
LaMarcus.
Like,
LaMarcus.
LaMarcus, yeah. Just like, I don't see that yet. Until I see that, then I'm just not impressed. None of this stuff matters to me. Because I've said this before, like, it's just getting old now because we talk about the same things. There's nothing else to talk about. We've seen this for the last few years now. So where are the impact players? I don't see them. So if I don't see them, I'm not going to get all, you know, excited about 17 rebounds or someone making a few threes. Like, it's just irrelevant because they're getting their tails kicked almost every night. And then, you know, their guys are injured. I get that. The fact that Aiden's playing, I think, is interesting. You know, Aiden's playing, yeah, and Grant and Simons aren't, which lends me to believe that Grant and Simons probably are still really injured and can't play, maybe. I don't know, because why would you throw Aiden out
there?
And
Brogdon's not playing.
Brogdon's not playing. Well, yeah, I think Brogdon's suspect. But so, anyway, it's just a bunch of stuff. You know, that's all.
Yep.
It's just a bunch of stuff.
It's filler.
And so all I care about now really is get to the end of the season and let's find out what the plan is. You know, because one of the questions I'm going to have for Cronin is, you've been a lottery three straight times. Should fans count on a fourth straight time? Or are you going to make moves this offseason to assure that you go into the season with a roster that people look at and go, oh, that's a 500 or better roster? And if they're not, then it's going to be a bunch of the same stuff again next year. Because it's one thing to say, man, you saw a lot of growth. Let's roll in next year and see what's going to happen. No, you didn't see a lot of growth at all. And so why would you be excited about next year? I see no reason to be. The only thing you could really lean on would be if they're healthy. If they're healthy all year, then okay, you know what? You might, if you get some improvements here and there, be a play-in team. It's possible. I would give them that. But I don't know. The whole thing is just, it's just funny to me. It's Scoot season. It's disappointing. If you're a fan, you have to be disappointed. It doesn't mean give up on them, but it's disappointing.
So my problem right now with all that you said is like, how? Like, what do you have to do anything with? I just, like, I don't see.
You got picks?
I know, but no one wants them this year.
Maybe.
Because the draft's not good. Like, we've heard over and over. I mean, there's stuff you can read where there are people saying it's the worst draft in, like, forever. And so that's not good. And.
But sometimes teams want to move a body, move a salary.
Sure, but.
You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying, like, you don't have the chips to go in anymore. Like, to say, oh, this is the big move. And. Free agency, like, what? No, what? Why are you going to be a player now? You're not. You never were before when you had Dame. You're certainly not going to be a player now. To me,
well, not
I'm
for
gonna
anyone
be surprised.
Big, but they could get some solid veteran role guys.
Sure. You want to get back to mediocre? You want to get back to where you said you didn't want to be and why you blew it up? Okay. You said you blew it up because you didn't want to keep playing into the second round as your ceiling. So now you're just trying to get back to being a play-in? Like, sure, you could get to be a play-in. It's easy to get to a play-in unless you're just a, you know, ridiculous. Because all you have to do is go the middle. Because most teams don't want to be there. So most teams want to be like where Charlotte is or be where OKC was 2 years ago and be where they are now, right? Like, that middle part of making the play-in is not awesome. Like, look at the Rockets, right? They just accelerated the crap out of that franchise in 1 year. And you're not close to that because they have these young, talented players and you're like, possible all-star. Definitely 1B. Green is good. Like,
I disagree. If you added a Van Vliet and a Dylan Brooks to this roster next year and everyone stayed healthy, that team's in the plan.
The Blazers.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm saying, but who can? That's not the Rockets are in the, you know, fighting to be in the play-in, but with a future of talent that could be all-star level and be where OKC is in a year or two.
So if they don't have that, if Scoot and Sharp aren't that and aren't that, then do you start over again? I'm saying you got some young pieces and you're going to have a lottery pick this year, two maybe, well, one and another first round pick. So you're going to have a lot of young players that you selected
that you say are going to be great. So you got enough of those. So now you got to start adding some vets around it so you can start elevating everything and then hope those guys keep growing up and then take things to another level as they grow up. Otherwise, you're just going to go back into the lottery again in 25.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't, to me, this team has best case. I don't think it's hard to get to mediocre in the NBA. It's not. The problem is no one wants to be there. And it's literally what you told your entire fan base why you blew it up.
Right. I agree. And but now, if you get to mediocre with young talent that you believe in, then you're still on the rise. Yeah, but
this year, they don't have that. Well, okay. I mean,
I'm saying if Scoot and Sharp are still on the rise, which I still think they are. Like, we're not giving up on them. You get this top five pick you're going to have coming in. Now, you got three super young guys who have to develop. But let's not have them develop on a losing team. Let's get some more dudes in here so they can start developing with a decent to good team. That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. I just don't feel that anyone's out there thinking right now that the Blazers have two future All-Stars. You know, I think that this is, like, Scoot, I'm not giving up on him. But no one in the NBA is like, oh, I see it, right? They're like, maybe it's there, but I definitely am disappointed in that. And I'm sorry, but Sharp's year, like, what, why? Like, and injuries are injuries, right? Yes, I get that it's bad luck. I mean, Patrick Ewing got hurt his rookie year and then played 20 years, you know what I mean? Like, and they thought his knees wouldn't hold up. You don't know, but it's just not great that he couldn't play.
So and we couldn't see about, it. As much as we say about Scoot, Sharp only shot 40% and 33 on threes this year. His effective was 47. He had this, God, it was just one run. I'm trying to find it where he
had one run, like 10 bonkers. Games, and you're like, look at this. He was bonkers. God, he was and then crazy. Maybe he got and hurt.
Because Chauncey said that's the hope, right?
That is the hope. But you're not feeling that buzz, right? Like where people are like, oh, but you got Sharp. You know what I mean? Like it feels like people are like, yeah, Sharp could be something and you hope, but like you're living on hope. You're not living on like facts. You're not living on consistency. You're not living on actual minutes played of moments of, oh, that guy's going to be it. I mean, you're living on, oh, that guy tried to dunk on five people and didn't, you know, like, but you like that and you're living on a 2 week, you know, basically two weeks of him playing at a really high level. And again, what is he, 21, right? So there's a chance. The problem is the NBA is not a league that allows for development. He's 20, but I mean, he'll be 21.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like when he comes in, it's not too late and it's not like it can't happen. The problem is in the NBA, Ja Morant developed in 25 games. And you're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like that's what the league does. I mean, you look at the age of some players, and they're still 23, 24, and they're stars.
Edwards.
I mean, my gosh. Like, you look at a 6'8 point guard playing for the Mavs. What did Luka turn? 24? Like, it's ridiculous. And he's been a star for 4 years. So it's not a league that allows you to say, oh, in 3-4 years, you develop anymore. So, and that's the stuff about Kamara and Murray that I remind people. They're 23-year-old rookies. I mean, they're going to be old. You know, like in 2 years, they're going to be, you know, on the maybe the back end of a short career if they don't develop quickly. So I just don't feel they have parts. I don't think their draft picks are blowing people away. I think that they went and got everything they did not work. Like I look at Ayton and he's averaging 18 and 13 or something like that. And you're like, and people are like, look at him. I'm like, yeah, he averaged 18 and 10 on the Suns. Like, of course. I mean, of course, like he's not, that's what he's good. Yeah. He's going to be there. You looked at Brogdon, you got him to trade him. You didn't. You look at Williams, you got him because there was a potential there. As long as he didn't get hurt, he did. So what? It's not over, but this year did not help. Like in the sense that the stocks that you got did not rise. And Simons is a year older, and this is a lost year for him. What a waste for him at 25 years old. What a waste. No wins. couldn't play, kind of hurt, maybe really hurt. If he's really hurt, then it's bad. He did not look good most of the time.
Okay, we're moving on. You're not gonna talk about my boy like that. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, you signed Grant to this huge deal. Like, how's that working out? Like, he's fine. Now he's not playing. Is he hurt? I don't know. So you just wasted all that money to move what? Are Simons, Grant, Brogdon, and Williams more valuable today than they were when you got him? My answer to that is no on every single one of them.
Whew.
Right?
I mean, I can't really argue against it.
The stock is not higher.
No, I don't think Simons' stock. No, to me, it's level. I don't think he lost. His shooting percentages are about the same. He averaged one more point per game. He took more shots.
But he's a year older.
Right, he's a year older, but he hasn't hit his prime yet. Prime's 28. He's going to be 25 next year. So he's still on the rise, potentially.
You hope.
Potentially. But to your point, it didn't go up. It's not like they're going to go in the offseason and say, hey, look what Anthony Simons did. Will you give us what we want now? When they couldn't trade him last summer, everyone's going to go, what did he do? But yeah, we'll trade for him, but we're not going to give you what you think he's worth. And the same thing is true. You're
not going to get 6'8", 22-year-old.
Right. The heat on the scoop pick wasn't good, which is why they couldn't move him. And now we couldn't move him because people had reservations about him, and he fulfilled those those doubts. So his stock, nowhere. So yeah, but you can still make moves to get in some veteran guys that can help elevate the overall team. And then
it can't be this bad again.
Well, that's my thing. Like, to me, you have to go out and do something proactive to make fans believe that you have a chance to at least be respectable. You can't. I don't know. If I'm a fan, like, I dropped my season tickets last year. Worthless. And anyone who kept their season tickets, 92% allegedly did, they lost thousands. They lost thousands either by going to the games they were overpaying for, or they couldn't sell their tickets. So it's, do you remember the episode of Seinfeld with Bette Midler? And Bette Midler had the understudy.
She's a catcher.
Yeah. Costanza runs over.
George ran her over.
And Elaine gave tickets to her hair, her nail people? And they went to the concert. Yes. And they're like, no Bette Midler? No Bette Midler? We don't want to see. Right? That's basically what fans have been treated to the last few years.
Right. They bought Dane.
If I bought season tickets. Right. Well, this year they bought the hope of Scoot and Ayton and Sharp. At the end of the year.
But you renewed before Dane.
No, a lot of the renewals came after they traded Dame and got, shouldn't say that. The Dame stuff was early. So there were some renewals because they sold the idea where they were going to trade the third pick to build around Dame. And then you had renewals that came later because they traded, they got Ayton, they got all this stuff, they got Scoot, everyone's blah, 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 blah. Anyway, and you ended up in a situation where you were going to Blazers games and Bette Midler wasn't there. Look at the game last night. If I had Charlotte Hornets season tickets, I'd be outside picketing, wanting my money back.
Well, there aren't many of those.
You have 10 NBA players.
Out. Nobody goes, Charlotte fans are the best. Like, no one's saying that, right? Like, in Portland, they are awesome. Like, it's amazing to me see Blazer fans. I have so much respect. They're down 14, and they were down 22, and there's 4 minutes left, and you're like, yeah, they're probably going to – and I know a lot of them are just like, just cover. The spread's 13, just cover. But, like, they're still up there cheering and trying to get them to miss free throws. I'm like, they're not going to win this game. You're just cheering for them to lose by less, and you're doing it. That's what – Blazer fans are awesome. And it takes a lot to turn them off. Like, there's still people that get mad at you and me and others for like, talking negatively about a team that is in its third straight year of tanking. Like, nowhere else, very few places in the country.
Could you imagine that this is New York?
Oh, I can't. What do you mean, can I imagine it? I've lived it. Of course I can imagine it. The Mets are 0-5. They're going to revolt. They're going to revolt, Fetris. Like, I mean, my whole life has lived with – I can show you my text chain on my phone opening day, the Yankees went down 4-0. The whole thing is from like 12 of my friends. Nestor Cortes is garbage. This team is awful. Hal's the worst. This team can't win 75 games. They won the game. Like, that's how. Oh, I'm dead serious.
And then they won five in a row, right?
Yeah, they're 6-1. That starts since Babe Ruth. Like, no, it's a different world. And you know what's funny is New York fans make fun of Philly fans for being negative. So that's it's hilarious. Not even like it's just us. But no, like sports radio, all that, it would be over. They could not, ownership being in this the way it is, would not, it would not suffer. Like, it's just not a, it's not a possibility for people to not revolt in other places. So I give Blazer fans credit for remaining positive, going to the games, and being hopeful. But yes, they're losing it. And who I feel for, Fentress, are the people, the business side. Mm. You're trying to sell sponsorships. You're trying to sell the tickets. You're trying to, you know, get people pumped about this team on a nightly basis. Like, the broadcast team, like, it's hard to do it and sound legit, right? Like, you can only spin so much. And at some point, it runs out, right? Going to year four, they have to try to win. They have to try to be mediocre. And you're right. If this team is completely healthy, they could. It's not hard to be in a play-in, in the play-in action, right? Like, it's not hard.
All right. Okay. Speaking of, let's segue then into the horrible win at the Hornets. So to set this up, going into Tuesday, the Blazers had lost 10 in a row, longest losing streak of the season, and that put them in position to actually fall as low as third, because that made them one game ahead of, at the fifth worst record in the league, one game ahead of Charlotte and San Antonio, who were tied for the third worst record. The Spurs went out and lost to Denver Tuesday night. And so the next night, had the Blazers lost to the Hornets, the Blazers would have fallen into a tie for the fourth worst with six games to go. Instead, they won the game. So now they have a two-game lead over the Spurs and the Hornets, who are still, yeah, they're both tied for third again. So with six games remaining, you know, They play the Wizards on Friday. That's definitely winnable. Then I think they got Boston Sunday. Then they come home. So Boston, they're going to lose that. But anyway, they easily could go 1-5 the rest of the way, which means that San Antonio or the Hornets would have to win three of their final six to even tie the Blazers, assuming the Blazers win one. So it looks like the Blazers are locked into fifth. Now it's a lottery, right? So the difference, I think, is that the fifth has a 10.5% chance, and I think 1 through 3 have 14, and fourth has 12.5. So the difference between fifth and third is 4 percentage points, which is not insignificant, but it's still a lottery situation. Last year they finished fifth worst, and they got third, right? So things happen. So I don't make a huge deal out of it, but like you said, it's a bad loss from a lottery perspective. Right. Of course, the players don't care about that. And I do want to give some credit to the Blazers management. So I try to be fair, whether I think they screwed things up or not. They're playing Ayton, right? If you are like, okay, we really want to lose this game, you don't play Ayton. Ayton's got tendonitis of the shin. I don't know if that's right. That thing, because I don't think there's tendons in the shin, but you come up with something, right? And you don't play him. And then you probably do lose because he was your best player that night. So I give the Blazers credit for saying, okay, we're going to play Ayton. But without Ayton, they lose. I think Ayton was,
of course.
You take away Ayton, I think they shot 30%. No, the team shot 31%. No, they shot 38. You take away 8, and I think they shot 28. I can't remember. Anyway, so I give them credit for that. So even if there's games being played with Ant or Grant, which I'm not saying there are, but the fact that they play Ayton to me shows us, you know, that they're not overtly, blatantly trying to blow that game. And the guys on the court obviously are going to play hard, and they played hard,
yeah,
and they won, right? So to me, they psychologically, they needed that win. I don't think it's a huge deal that they won. You, of course, though, think it was just bad
bad.
Well, I just, you know, the way around. All you want to do is get it, nothing matters this year. So you hurt your future. I mean, the Hornets didn't
by
play
3 percentage points.
Yeah, I know, but that's 3 percentage points. The guys that were cheering, I give them credit. They should play hard. It's not good that they won. It's bad. It doesn't help you. It hurts you. Like, there's just no way around it. It hurts you. Winning this game does not help the future of the Blazers franchise. It hurts it by 3 percentage points.
When they win a championship in 5 years, we're going to trace it all the way back to that night in Charlotte. When they pulled
it
out.
I'd love to find that.
When Chauncey made the Hall of Fame and they went out one in Charlotte and Scoot had a great night and that catapulted them to the 2035 NBA title. Go ahead.
I just say that the difference here is the Hornets rolled out JT Thor.
JT Thor's balling lately.
As their center at 6'9", a guy who averages 2.7 points and 2.2 rebounds a game. And I want to remind you, he started as kind of the big man. He shoots 39%. Like, this is a bad – this is a – like, they didn't try to they knew what they were doing. You know, they started a 6'7", 6'9", forwards, and they went 6'6" with Grant Williams, 6'9" with Thor, and like 6'7" with Miller, right? So, of course, Ayton should dominate, and he did. But, yes, it's a bad win. It's a bad win. Like, I can't tell you that I'm mad at it because you're right. There'll be no way to know if it matters. If they get the first pick, then it didn't matter at all. If they get the fifth pick, you're like, well, maybe you could have moved up because it gave you 3%. But that's why this sucks, right? That's why this sucks. And also, I don't want to
shame.
Yeah, I'm just being honest. Like, it was a bad it's a bad loss. I mean, it's a bad win. And there's no way to spin it. Like, they're not gonna learn to win by winning 20 games rather than 19. Like, it doesn't.
It's good for the psychology of the kids out there getting their heads kicked in. It's good for them.
What do you care?
I care long term
as a Blazer fan, I'm saying.
Oh, as a Blazer.
Yeah, I'm glad they get paid. They get paid a lot, like when they're in the NBA. Especially these guys that some of them. We're never going to get an NBA paycheck this year because they were supposed to be on the Rip City, you know, remix. So,
right. Well,
most of them are. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful. These are really good players. But Rupert was not supposed to be on the team, you know, this year. He certainly wasn't supposed to play 35 minutes in an NBA game. So I'm not trying to be mean. I'm glad that and he might end up being a really good player, but odds are he won't. You know, like, because that's just the nature of the NBA. If you're not, they scout pretty well. So, I mean, yeah, I wasn't like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. The Hornets were trying to lose too, right? Like, so they scored 86 points. It's hard to win scoring 89 points. And the only way you can do it is when the other team scores less. They were terrible. So that's what happened. And that's the end of the year now. Let them win all they can. Who cares? I mean, it is what it is. I just don't, like you said, like, what are you looking for? Even if Scoot goes off, you're not going to feel great. So get through the year and get to that press conference, and let's see what they do. I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Very true. All right, let's end on this. So in the last podcast, did we talk about the 60 loss thing?
No, you mentioned that you texted me like that. This team can lose 60. I've done the math, and I was like, okay, like, so 58's bad too.
What are they at right now? 55 or 56? 56, right?
They are. Their record is 20-56.
Okay, so
on
four
a one
away,
game winning
six to go. Yeah. So they got to win three. They go 3-3 to avoid hitting.
They're
going to
lose 60 games
losses. So. The franchise has only had 3 60 loss seasons in history, 61, 61, 64. And two came during the first 3 years of the franchise's existence. They actually won, I think, they lost 57 in year one, then they lost over 60 the next 2 years, 64 and then 61. So from that point on, from 1973 on, they only lost 60 games once, and that was the 05-06 season.
They went 21-61, and this team is staring at 60 wins. Also, in the history of the franchise losses. Coming in, sorry, 60 losses. Also, in the history of the franchise, yeah, exactly. They've only lost coming into the season. They'd only lost by 60 points or more in a game once. It was 65 to Indiana, and I think 2011, 2012 season. I think they made the playoffs that year. They've lost by 60 twice in the last 12 weeks. That game against Miami and then that game against OKC at the end of that trip in January. So this season, and to me, like the expansion years, you know, you kind of, you get some grace in those years, right?
You absolutely get grace.
Right. So they're only going to be, if they lose 60, they're going to be one win better than the 05-06 team, but they will have two 60 loss games in this season. So you could argue that at the very least, it's the worst season since the 71-72 season when they lost 64. But given that that was the franchise's second year of existence, I would argue that this might be really the worst season ever when you factor in those 60-point losses.
Oh, I don't. And you traded Damian Lillard. Like, you can't not mention that.
Right.
Blazer fans had – the franchise had to endure that. They traded away, you know, arguably the best player in franchise history, arguably the most popular player in franchise history, and then they went and had one of the worst seasons in franchise history. And you're not – when you're on your second year of ever having an NBA team, you're still, like, just so happy. You're so happy. Like, we got a team. They stink, but they're going to win eventually. This is an awful year. And it started awful. I mean, the divorce with Damian Lillard, like that was hard. And it's hard for everybody. So, oh yeah, I think you're fair to say this is
the worst season.
If you say this is the worst season in Trailblazers history, you have a lot of evidence to support it.
Absolutely. I mean,
there's other things that have happened, you know, where it hurt, Greg Oden getting hurt multiple times, Sam Bowie. Like, there's things that you could argue are worse to happen than losing 60 games, but it's not ridiculous to call this the worst full year, because I'm counting. I mean, they went into the preseason with Lillard on the roster. You know what I mean? Like, so I count that as the same year. So, oof. Yeah, that plus – there was that plus-minus record that Scoot broke the – I don't know what you call that. The worst plus-minus of all time.
Oh, worst plus-minus. Yeah, the minus 58.
And now, this is – go ahead. Hit me.
Okay. So, I'm looking at winning percentage, worst winning percentages. So, the 2021-22 season a few years ago is fifth all time at 329. This one right now is fourth all time at 263, and obviously can fall further. And then the 2022-23 season, which was last season, obviously, is 10th. So that means the last 3 years, counting this season, make up three of the worst 10 seasons in terms of winning percentage of all time. So you could argue that this is the worst era of Blazers basketball, three-year era, ever. Because now those 70 teams, like 71-72 is number one all time, 72-73 is number two, 73-74 is number seven, and 70-71 is number one. So aside from the expansion years, which we all know what expansion years are about, right? This is the worst 3 year era of Blazers basketball ever.
Yeah.
And I got to cover it all. And I know all of you are jealous that I got to sit. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, and people want to do that. You have a GM and an entire front office that was redesigned at that time and a new head coach.
Yep.
So, In most franchises, this entire podcast will be about
firing everybody,
coaching changes and front office changes.
But to their, so see, here's the thing. In their defense, it all began with Dame's surgery, Olshay being fired, CJ's collapsed lung. That season was, so then you go into the next season, and this is where I'm on the fence with. Because on the next season, you say, okay, they ended up getting number three pick, but that wasn't the plan. They were trying to win that year, but they didn't provide Damian with enough real veteran depth and length to help him so that when guys got injured, they fell completely to pieces, which Cronin admitted that he failed in that area. So then that leaves the Dame. They don't take the pick, or they use the pick, Dame leaves, and now you have this. So it's kind of like, you know, 50-50 in terms of flat-out blame versus, okay, well, they're kind of trying to lose. Because they didn't originally. They were trying to build around Dame, but they blew that, and then they're trying to lose. So it's kind of a mixed bag of everything. But the bottom line still is that fans have endured the worst three-year era since the first 4 years of the franchise's existence.
And to me, the whole thing is, what's the plan? And that's where I'm – I mean, it's not Chauncey Billups. I mean, it cracks me up when people start throwing Chauncey out to be fired. I'm like, man, you should just be happy he wants to come to work. Like,
exactly.
You know, like, exactly. What are you talking about? Like, what – I mean, there's no – you could put Bill Russell on his team and they still wouldn't win a championship. And that dude didn't have to not win a championship. And Chauncey wouldn't have to coach him because at all – there's no coaching – here. And people, I love when people say Phil Jackson couldn't win with his team. I'm like, no, duh. You know, I know I'm a Knicks fan. Like, we didn't win. We sucked, right? Larry Brown, we sucked. Like, when your team sucks, your coach can't save you from stuff, right? No matter who they are.
Not in basketball. Yeah, like, even you can finesse in baseball. You can finesse in football.
Maybe.
We've seen it. No, we've seen 10 teams win Super Bowl with a bad quarterback. We've seen it.
Yes, right? But you can't.
And they did it with defense and did it with special teams. In baseball, as long as you're decent, right, just decent, you can finesse you. We've seen teams come out of nowhere and all of a sudden they're in the World Series. Yeah. Like, whoa, how'd that happen? Basketball, you can't do that. You either got stars or you don't.
There's only stars on the court at once.
Right.
Five on the court at once.
And one person can get as many shots as they want. They don't have to rely on a quarterback to throw them a ball. They have to rely on an offensive line to block for them. And you can stack the box in football. They don't have to wait for that bat.
And they play both ways.
I get that five times. And they play both ways. So one guy can impact the entire game. We saw it with Jordan. We saw it with LeBron. So that's the thing. When are the Blazers going to have that one guy again? Because that one guy was Dame. And he demonstrated what he could do if you gave him something. So they got to find that guy. But, you know.
Yeah, and they were good. They had really good teams. I mean, they had really good five starters. You know what I mean? Like, people could throw away the Neil Oshay era and act like it was garbage, and they're wrong. It wasn't garbage. It was really, really good. It wasn't great. It wasn't great, but it was really, really good. And there was a few things that went the wrong way. You know what I mean? That could have gone the other way. Pritchard, too. You know what I mean? Like, Pritchard had, you know, Greg Oden, that crushed Pritchard. Like, that's it. Like, that's a terrible decision. An awful, awful, awful decision. And we might have all made it, but we didn't. He did. So we didn't have the job. So you draft Kevin Durant, you win championships in Portland, no doubt, right? Probably. I mean, I say no doubt, but pretty darn close. And you did. You
went with in the mix.
You went with Greg Oden and he didn't work out. Like, not your fault. That's your fault. Like, you didn't hurt his knee and you might have, you know, but right now, and I'm just saying, like, at some point in time, the plan didn't work. Because you didn't have a 7-year plan here, because no front office would ever have a 7-year plan, because no front office has ever failed for 7 straight years. Like, they don't get that opportunity. So when you say, like, they have to do something next year, I say, of course they do. Or ownership just doesn't care. Or they just don't care at all. Well, I'm just saying, though, if you don't do anything to try to win, you don't care, because your business people are telling you, like, come on, we can't do this again. We have to sell sponsorships. We have to sell, you know, broadcasting. You know, we need people to watch. We need people to buy tickets. We need people to buy jerseys. Like, what jersey are people buying right now? Like, it's not, I mean, it's, you go, you see it. They have old jerseys. No one's buying Jamal, you know, Walker jerseys. No, you can love Sharp to death, but they're not. Scoot isn't even at the Lillard level. When Lillard got here, jerseys started going right. So they've got to do something, because you can't sustain this, and ownership is going to have to do something. And people, I will bring it up every podcast, until you figure out this ownership, this team's going to be in trouble.
So let me end on this quick story. So I was talking with someone at work about this, and we were talking about the Billups situation, and where some fans blame Billups. And I said part of that is because during the offseason, they were selling Scoots this. He's not a normal 19-year-old. We're trying to win. We brought back Grant and Thibault, and we made these big trades, blah, blah, blah. And the person said, well, you know, management can't just come out and say, we're trying to lose. They're trying to sell tickets. And I go, well, first of all, you're saying that they're lying to sell tickets, which, you know, we can argue whether that's ethical or not. But regardless of why they did it, and that creates expectations. And then when the team falters, who are you going to blame? You're going to blame the coach. My thing is that coming into this offseason, I would be shocked if fans are as gullible again, because they got worked, right? Yeah. They got worked by I call it smoke and mirrors, man. It was magic. And people were like, oh my God, we're going to be great. Better buy my tickets. And then you lost thousands. So coming into this offseason, if they don't do something special or interesting or significant, why would I keep my, why would anyone keep their tickets? Just drop them. And then just wait for everyone to be giving theirs away who bought them, or the Blazers giving away tickets, because the team's going to be bad again. So from a business standpoint, like you're talking about with sponsorships and tickets, I'm giving the fans the benefit of the doubt that they can't be fooled again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, and I honestly don't blame the Blazers for doing what they did. I mean, because there's a chance they believed it.
Okay, but here's the thing. Right after they were all done with everything, and there was all this flurry of excitement, then the press conference came before training camp, and then it was, people be patient. Give us time.
Yeah, we gotta develop. Yeah.
They, I'm just saying, they flipped the switch from, oh my God, this is the man, we're going to be bad, to, oh yeah, we're going to be bad. It's development over wins. They changed it after they got the ticket sold.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I don't know. You're selling a product. Diet soda sucks, but people buy it because they get sold on it being good. I don't know if it doesn't like Diet Coke.
If we give them the benefit of the doubt, that it's just business is business. Yeah. What I'm saying is, after this disastrous season, which we just said might be the worst ever, they're not going to be able to do that next year. They're not going to draft the worst draft ever. Hey, we got this kid at number 4. He's going to come right in. Everyone's going to go, yeah, that's what you said about Scoot.
Well, also, they're going to say, okay, I'll buy tickets when I want. They're available.
Right.
And they're going to be available. You know,
they're available.
Well, and I was talking to a guy that's done this for years. He's got 3 young kids, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I bought them this year. He shares them, you know, similar thing. He's like, but he's like, I'm thinking of buying Winterhawk tickets. You know, he's like, you know, it's competitive. It's a different sport. Like, my kids will get something different. They love the atmosphere of the NBA, but they've done it. And now him, he's like, it's, you know, maybe that's a better route to go and buy, like, you know, a package with the Winterhawks. And I'm like, yeah, you can always go to the Blazers too. Like, you could choose that. But yeah, you can't rinse and repeat. So when you want to add that final question, that question, like, they have to do something. Absolutely, they have to do something. Some of it will happen with some of these players being healthier, but, I mean, I would trade them. I would trade Brogdon. I would trade Williams. I would trade whatever I thought, you know, I could to get. I mean, maybe you keep, you know, a young center that keeps getting hurt because you can't get anything, but, like, you don't get rid of Brogdon. I mean, to me, at what point does Simons whisper to his agent, like, get me out?
Now, or get screwed out, right? But they're not going to do that.
Next podcast. We can talk about that. It's not just like people, like I remind people that we talked about the Billups thing. Like, it's not just whether or not the Blazers want them to work for them. It's whether they want to work for the Blazers, right? And 100%. And guys with talent have choices. True. So,
all right.
You know, wow. And Simon's contract's still good. Like, Grant's contract's not, it's not terrible, but his choices are different. Like, Simon's is he's a
2 year,
he's
a bargain.
He's a bargain. Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Wizard Focus podcast. I'm Aaron Fentress. He's Craig Burke.
The Grandpa.
Grandpa Fentress. I got to think of a name. I can't be being called Grandpa. That's not work. Anyway, we'll be back next week. What are we going to talk next week? What? Should we just wait till it's over, or should we even bother with next week?
We'll discuss that offline.
Yeah, we'll discuss that offline. All right, we'll take that business offline. All right, we'll be back at some point.